Hello, here we are again on another program, Bible Prophecy, Plain and Simple. I want to read our foundational verse again. It's very important. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Today we're going to look at the seven churches. John was told, what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches. Now, there's four basic interpretations about this portion of Scripture. First, that they're just literal churches. Second, that they represent all churches throughout all ages. Third, that there will be seven different churches at the end of the age. And fourth, that these seven churches represent seven consecutive time periods of local church history extending from the first century to the end of the age. Now, it seems in all the discussions, the fact is overlooked that the seven letters were written to seven pastors. God's commendations and his criticisms were directed to the pastors, not to the congregations. We see in Revelation 2:2, he said, I know thy works. 2:9, I know thy works. 2:13, I know thy works. Once again, 2:19, I know thy works. 3:1, I know thy works. And Revelation 3:8, he said to the pastor, I know thy works. And 3:15, I know thy works. Also in 2:5, he said to the pastor, repent or else. Again, he said, except thou repent. 2:16, repent or else. 3:3, hold fast and repent. Revelation 3:19, be zealous therefore and repent. And then in Revelation 3:16, we read, concerning the last church, the Laodicean pastor, he said, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. In other words, he will no longer be God's spokesman. Oh, he might be preaching to a big crowd of people, but he's not speaking for God. This warning has nothing to do with salvation, neither does it have anything to do with the congregation. He is talking specifically to the pastor. It is a warning to the pastor that he will cease to be God's spokesman if he's not going to do things God's way. Now, if we look at these as seven periods of time, the first period runs from A.D. 30 to about 100. That's the church at Ephesus. Then we have Smyrna from 100 to 313, Pergamum from 313 to about 600, Thyatira from 600 to 1517, and then Sardis from 1517 to 1648, and then Philadelphia from 1648 to 1948, and then we have the Laodicean church, which I think began as in a period of time here in 1948, and the reason I think it is that is because that's when Israel became a nation again on May the 14th, 1948. After 2,000 years, Israel became a nation. And if you look at the churches, about that same time, they began to take a serious downward spiral from where they were just prior to that. At the end of the Laodicean age, which is where we are now, we will have the rapture of the Christians. Christians will be taken out of this world. And that's the next thing on God's program. Now, as we look at these churches, we find out that the pastors changed. The message to the churches at Ephesus begin with the information that Christ holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. We read in Revelation, the stars refers to the pastor. The seven stars are the angels, the Bible says, of the seven churches, chapter 1 and verse 20. The word angel means messengers, referring to the pastor. Now, we find here in Revelation 1:17 that Christ had his hand, his right hand, on John. In Psalm 26, speaks of the saving strength of his right hand. Then in Psalm 98:1, it talks about his right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. Matthew 7:29, they were saying mockingly to Jesus, they planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. In Acts 5:31, we read, Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And so when Christ has had the pastor in his right hand, it means that he was in control of the pastor. The pastor of the church at Ephesus did not focus at the beginning on gathering a great crowd. His focus as a pastor was not on keeping the church full, it was on keeping the church pure. We read in verse 2 that he was commended because he did not bear them which are evil, and he said, "Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars." He was commended for keeping the church pure. We read, "Thus saith the king," in 1 Timothy, God commanded the pastor at Ephesus to preach the word. The Greek word for preach in 2 Timothy 4:2 means to herald. Now, a herald would come in with a message from the king. It was not the herald's responsibility to dialogue. It was not the responsibility of the herald to soft pedal the message so people would not get upset. He was there to say what the king wanted him to say, and he was not to leave out parts that might cause people to leave town. And when we're preaching the way Jesus said to preach, we're not to leave out parts in our church services that might cause people to leave the church. We are to preach, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, Paul warned the pastors in Acts 20, and he was talking to what the Bible calls here overseers, and he warned them to take heed to yourselves. He warned them to feed the Christians in that local church. He warned them that grievous wolves would go after the church members. He warned them, it says, night and day for 3 years, and he wept as he warned. The problems that arose were not taken care of quickly, and their local church was in serious trouble in just a few short years. So we look at this pastor at Ephesus planting the seeds for a sick church. Churches do not get sick on their own. They get sick because the pastor plants seeds to make them sick, or he allows someone else to plant the seeds. Now, they were very scriptural at the beginning. Churches do not get sick, as I said, on their own. They get sick because the pastor's planting seeds or he's allowing someone else. The Bible gives us more information about that church that Paul established at Ephesus than any other church in the New Testament. In Acts 19 and 20, we read of the establishment of that church. In Ephesians, it was written concerning problems that the pastor had allowed to creep into that local church. And then 1 and 2 Timothy were written to the pastor of the church who was given the responsibility to deal with those problems. And finally, we have the words of Christ in Revelation 2 concerning the sad condition of the church just 40 years after it had been established. His rebuke was very sharp. To the pastor, he said, "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Now, at the beginning, we see that he was separating the sincere. We read in Acts 19, "And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers or many were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." Now, as a result of doing things God's way, we read in verse 20, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Paul had a group of believers in that church that meant business for God. They had a sweet spirit, they had unity, and they had love, but Paul saw a danger looming on the horizon that the leaders did not see or simply refused to see. We see in Acts 20:28, he said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood." Take heed to feed. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And if that's not bad enough," he said, "also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, And remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Well, we read in Ecclesiastes 8 and 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And so, 40 years later, the church was in ruin. In Acts chapter 19, the church at Ephesus was in excellent health. In the book of Ephesians, the church was in a declining health. 1st and 2nd Timothy, the church was in critical condition. And in Revelation chapter 2, that same church was sick unto death. Like the house built upon the sand, great was the fall of it. At the beginning, the pastor tried them, would say they're apostles, and found them liars. But the pastor would not allow any false teachers to get a foothold when it began. In the early days of the church, if Calvinism had reared its blasphemous head at Ephesus, the pastor would have exposed them as liars. Not today. We can promote the blasphemy that says that some people were created in this world for no other reason than to have them burn in hell. That is blasphemy. Well, that wouldn't be stood for in the early days of that Ephesian church, but they're standing for almost and let anything at all happen by the time 40 years had come up. He would not cooperate in his meetings with them and allow them to influence the people God had given him the responsibility to lead. As we said, he separated them. Well, we got to keep asking ourselves when we look at this local church situation, whose church is it? We read back in Matthew 16, the first time the church is mentioned, Jesus said, I will build my church. Revelation 2:5, he said, I'll come quickly unto thee and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. And we also read in Revelation 1, the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. He said, I will build my church, but he's warning the pastor in Revelation 2:5, I'm going to remove your candlestick. Well, pick it up here in our next session. Be sure and be with us. Bible Prophecy, Plain and Simple.